Feminism and the Catholic Church, are they destined to be forever opposed, or can they find new models of constructive cooperation to tackle together the most pressing challenges of contemporary society? Those questions were at the heart of a conference here in Rome recently, looking at the relationship between the Church and the movement for women's liberation over the centuries in European and American societies. While the radical feminist model of recent decades has placed itself squarely in opposition to the Catholic Church, speakers at this conference stressed it's important to look back to the role of prominent Christian women of past centuries and to examine the broader context of women working today in local church organizations all over the world.
When you speak of women in the church, I think one has to distinguish between the narrow definition of church, the church as an institution, and the big definition of church, ecclesia, a people called together.
American lawyer and university professor Mary Ann Glendon is president of the Pontifical Academy of Social Sciences, the first woman to head any such Vatican organization. While she's most definitely the exception to the rule that few women hold leadership positions in any Vatican institutions, she stresses the importance of looking beyond the confines of the Holy See to the wider Catholic world, where in fact men are increasingly a minority in the running of local communities and organizations.
Certainly, in the church as expansively understood, we have women executives running the second biggest healthcare system in the world, the Catholic healthcare system. We have women executives running the second biggest educational system in the world. There are 350,000 Catholic charitable educational healthcare systems all over this planet, and most of them are run by women. So I would almost say there is a problem that hasn't been discussed enough, that in the church, the role of men is less than it should be, which encourages people to think that religion is only for women and that churchly activities are somehow unmanly. And that is a very serious problem. Not only does it deprive young people of role models, but it goes back to Machiavelli, who said, Christianity is weak. Christianity is effeminate. And that's a theme in political philosophy that Pope Benedict, in his World Day of Peace message, is decisively repudiating.
In that message for World Peace Day to be celebrated on January the 1st, 2007, Pope Benedict speaks of the persistent inequalities between men and women who are often treated as objects or subordinated to the arbitrary decisions of men. The Pope stresses there can be no illusion of a secure peace in our world until these forms of discrimination are overcome. Fine words to warm every woman's heart, just as the previous pontiff, John Paul II, dedicated a number of letters, speeches and documents to what he called the particular feminine genius. Yet many women within the church still say their talents are neither recognised nor appreciated, so it seems there's much still to be done to ensure that these words permeate throughout the church hierarchy.
Of course, there's always more to be done. And it's interesting that whenever people asked John Paul II what he meant by feminine genius, he always said, well, that's for women themselves to discover and explain. In other words, he encouraged women to seek the perfection of their nature in all the diversity of all the women in the world. And in preparing my remarks, I went back to what he said in Vita Consecrata. He urged women to seek to fulfill the perfection of their nature, and he urged men, especially men in the church, to welcome that gift of women. So we're waiting for those words to penetrate into the capillaries of the church. And all of us know some local churches where those words have been taken to heart, and I think especially as we get more and more priests who are inspired by the recent popes and are comfortable with women, that we are gradually seeing the leaven in the social loaf. I believe that what we're seeing now in the Catholic Church is a double process where the right things have been said at the highest level. John Paul II himself used the word decision-making processes and urged, this is an exact quote from Vita Consecrata, urged men in the church to welcome women into leadership and decision-making positions at all levels of the church. So there is the right thing being said at the highest level. But there, I think where you're seeing the change take place is in the local churches. And there, I think, I would say we already, I mean, from my own personal witness in the Archdiocese of Boston, women are in decision-making positions. The Board of Trustees of the seminary, one of the most important things we do in the church is train priests. The Board of Trustees of the seminary is at least a third women. I haven't counted because there are so many. So I have to say, as someone who was in the job market for the past 30 years in law firms and then in universities, that the church compares very favorably at the local level in welcoming women into decision-making positions, and with this difference that the church does not ask women to give up their family life. The church is not requiring everybody to be socialized into a unisex hominid. We live in a culture where people have a rather simplistic idea of equality. They think it's everything the same. If the church wants to prove that it is right, that it has a better model, it has to show it. And I think you can already show it at the local level, and I certainly think we show it in our Pontifical Academy of Social Sciences, where we have many women members, and they are certainly in decision-making positions. But there's a long way to go.
And my thanks there to Professor Mary Ann Glendon, President of the Pontifical Academy of Social Sciences.